Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are putting on our engineering hats and diving deep into the hardware that looks set to define the next era of portable gaming.
We are.
We're talking about the highly anticipated successor to the Steam Deck, and we're basing this on what are probably the most comprehensive and, frankly, exciting leaked specs we've seen for a console in years.
Yeah, this isn't just about a faster chip. The documents we've been analyzing suggest a real philosophy shift, a complete architectural overhaul. It seems designed to solve the two biggest compromises of the current generation.
And that's our mission today, right?
Exactly. We're going to unpack these leaked schematics, these performance predictions, to understand exactly how Valve plans to achieve that, well, that almost impossible balance between massive power and reliable battery life.
That balance really is the core tension here. The reports show Valve is targeting up to 3 times the raw performance of the original Steam Deck. And to do that in such a small chassis, it requires deep customization.
Mm.
That's what differentiates it from competitors like the ROG Ally, which use more off-the-shelf parts.
Absolutely. Valve's strategy hinges entirely on optimizing from the silicon up. They're taking the custom chip route with AMD, aiming for efficiency before raw performance. And that's exactly how you win the handheld race.
And the centerpiece of this whole effort, the engine room of the operation, is the new custom AMD accelerated processing unit, the APU. It's reportedly codenamed Grimoire.
Yeah, it sounds like something straight out of a fantasy game.
It does. And honestly, the specs feel a bit magical, too.
They really do. And if you're looking at where that performance leap comes from, you have to start at the absolute foundation, the manufacturing process.
Okay, so let's unpack this. If the Steam Deck 2 is going to be roughly 3 times more powerful, what's the fundamental technological leap that makes that possible while, you know, keeping thermals in check?
It all starts with density and efficiency. Grimoire is reportedly being built on TSMC's bleeding-edge 3-nanometer lithography.
3 nanometers?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you should think of 3 nanometers not just as faster, but as fundamentally cooler and less thirsty for power. The process is explicitly optimized for ultra-low power consumption, which is the necessary bedrock for everything else they're trying to achieve.
So the efficiency starts at almost an atomic level. It lets the engineers stack more performance into the same thermal envelope. But where is the actual, you know, CPU muscle coming from?
That's where Zen 5C comes in. The CPU is moving from 4 cores to a really robust 8 cores and 16 threads. It's a massive shift, and the key detail is that little C.
C for compact, right. We've heard that term, but can you explain the trade-off? Why not just use standard Zen 5 desktop cores?
That's a great question, and it speaks directly to the constraints of a portable. The compact cores are high-density cores. According to the analysis, they deliver about 90% of the standard Zen 5 performance.
Okay, 90%.
But, then this is the crucial part, they consume 40% less physical space and power.
Wait, so they're sacrificing a tiny bit of peak power, just 10%, for a massive 40% gain in efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like an almost mandatory trade-off for a handheld where battery is king.
Exactly. This one design choice fundamentally eliminates the biggest performance roadblock in the original deck, which was the CPU bottleneck. It became, you know, painfully obvious in those big, sprawling open-world games.
Right.
Zen 5C gives you the threading and the density needed to manage all that complex game physics and world streaming way more efficiently.
And speaking of efficiency, the reports show the Steam Deck 2 is fully embracing the AI era. It's introducing an XDNA 2 neural processing unit, an NPU. For someone listening, why does a gaming handheld even need an NPU?
It's all about offloading work. Traditionally, the main GPU has to handle everything, rendering frames, upscaling visuals, running background tasks. The NPU is a specialized chip that can handle, say, intelligent upscaling routines and specific background tasks all on its own.
So it's like hiring a highly specialized assistant to do all the busy work.
Precisely. The NPU takes the heavy lifting of intelligent upscaling, which we'll get to with FSR4 and system maintenance, off the main GPU. This lets the graphical processor just focus on one thing, rendering more higher quality frame.
Okay, that makes sense.
So when you combine the efficiency of 3 nanometers, the multi-core muscle of Zen 5C, and the support of that NPU, the projected raw processing power just leaps. We're looking at approximately 4.5 TFLOPS.
4.5 TFLOPS. That is, like you said, right around 3 times the raw power of the first generation. Now, that power is useless if the graphics can't take advantage of it. So let's shift focus. For years, graphical fidelity has been the Achilles heel of handhelds. What does the RDNA 4 architecture bring to the table to solve that?
RDNA 4 is a huge leap, specifically in how it handles advanced rendering features. The analysis points to optimized ray tracing support.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which means we might finally get RT on a handheld that doesn't immediately drop the frame rate to single digits. It's about making the feature actually usable.
And how are they fitting that much graphical power in? Are we talking about a huge core count?
Not enormous, no. The GPU reportedly features 12 compute units, or CUs, which is up from the original DeX 8. But the real leap, it's the clock speed. It has reportedly skyrocketed to 2.8 gigahertz.
Wow.
That architecture, combined with that clock speed boost, is where the 4.5 TFLOPS really materialized.
That jump in frequency is clearly the key.
Yeah.
And supporting the hardware is the software layer, FSR4.
Yes. FSR4 is the real game changer here because of how it ties back to that NPU we mentioned. This new version supports AI-driven frame generation at the hardware level.
Okay, so unlike FSR3, which was all software.
Exactly. FSR3 relied on software estimation. FSR4 leverages the specific architecture of RDNA4 and the NPU to generate those intermediate frames intelligently with minimal performance overhead. It means the system can confidently target high frame rates, even in really demanding games.
This brings us to the point that has sparked the most debate online. The screen. Everyone expected 1080p, but the leaks are pushing 900p. That's 1600 by 900. Why would Valve's engineers favor this sweet spot resolution?
It's a really pragmatic choice. It's based on physics and user perception. The sources confirm it's a custom Samsung OLED panel, maintaining that 16:10 aspect ratio, but sticking to 900p.
I have to challenge that a little. I mean, 1080p is the standard today. Why would a next-gen device intentionally cap its resolution?
Because of diminishing returns on a small screen and the colossal cost of performance. The engineering notes argue that on a small 7 or 8-inch display, the visual difference between 900p and 1080p is genuinely negligible to most users.
Especially when you're holding it at a typical gaming distance.
Right. The pixel density is already so high that 1080p just doesn't translate into a significantly better visual experience. But to drive 1080p, you need about 25% more GPU power than 900p.
And that's 25% more battery drain.
Exactly. It would hit the battery hard and push the thermal limits. By choosing 900p, they maximize visual fidelity. Remember, it's a bright OLED screen without crippling performance. It's just the most power-efficient choice.
That's a fascinating practical decision. And to smooth everything out, they're including 120 hertz variable refresh rate, or VRR.
VRR is vital. You could argue it's more important than the native resolution. The documents really emphasize that if a game's performance fluctuates, say it drops between 45 and 55 FPS VRR, ensures the display output matches the GPU, making those dips look perfectly smooth. It eliminates screen tearing.
So it dramatically increases the perceived stability, even if the raw numbers are bouncing around.
Correct. And the screen is also reportedly a beast, hitting 1,000 nits peak brightness, which is essential for any kinds of outdoor gaming.
All right, let's pivot from pure performance to just the experience of holding the thing. The 3-nanometer Grimoire chip is the ace in the hole for thermals, but more power is still more heat. This brings us to the physics problem of cooling and battery life.
Yeah, the cooling system needed a fundamental redesign. You can't support 4.5 TFLOPS without turning the device into a space heater. The analysis confirms the notorious, sometimes loud, single fan is being replaced.
Okay, what are they switching to? And does adding more fans mean more noise?
The leaks suggest a switch to a dual fan system. But the critical part is the flow design. Air is reportedly pulled from the back and then exhausted upwards along the top edge.
Oh, that's a brilliant ergonomic choice.
It is. It moves the hot air away from your hands, which means cooler grips and, crucially, quieter operation, because each fan can run at a lower, less intrusive RPM. It's a massive quality of life improvement.
And on the battery front, a more efficient chip doesn't mean much if the capacity doesn't grow.
Right. So they're reportedly adopting stacked battery technology. It's similar to what you find in modern electric vehicles. The advantage is simple. You increase the energy density so you can pack more capacity into the same physical volume.
So what's the expected capacity jump?
We're looking at a substantial 70 watt hour battery. To put that in perspective, the OLED deck had a 50 watt hour battery.
The big jump.
It is, but even at 70 watt hours, our analysis suggests that for heavy AAA gaming, you're still looking at about 3 hours of playtime. It's a necessary upgrade to compensate for the tripled performance.
And before we get to benchmarks, just briefly on the physical design, The device is expected to be a bit slimmer, but I want to ask about the trackpads.
Ah, yes. The trackpads are critical to Valve's ecosystem for playing things like RTS or complex RPGs. The new ones reportedly feature high-definition haptics.
And HD haptics?
Yeah.
Is that just stronger buzzing?
No, it's about fidelity. This tech simulates physical clicks and scrolling far more realistically. So instead of just a simple vibration, you feel resistance and tactile feedback that mimics actual mechanical input. It should massively improve precision.
Okay, now that we have the full hardware picture, Grimoire, RDNA 4, 900p, that 70 double battery, let's look at the benchmarks. What does this massive power jump actually mean for the games you, the listener, want to play?
This is where it all comes together. We're going to use three key examples from the performance analysis to show the jump from the Steam Deck OLED to the projected Deck 2.
Let's start with the ultimate modern stress test, Cyberpunk 2077.
Okay. On the Steam Deck OLED, you were pushing maybe 35 FPS, usually on low settings.
Right.
The analysis predicts the Deck 2 will hit a comfortable 60 FPS on high settings.
From low to high at 60?
Yep. That shift from barely playable to a locked high-fidelity experience is a huge testament to RDNA 4's power.
That is a staggering jump. Okay, what about the game everyone is worried about?
Mm.
GTA VS, currently. Unplayable on the old deck.
Right. Under 20 FPS on current hardware. With the Deck 2's muscle, FSR 4, and the VRR screen, it's estimated to hit 40 to 45 FPS on medium-low settings.
Which, with VRR, should feel pretty smooth.
Exactly. The analysis suggests it'll be the best portable GTA VI experience available, period.
And for something like Elden Ring?
Elden Ring today is around 40 FPS on medium. The estimate for Deck 2 is a flawless Souls-like experience at a very high 90 FPS on maximum settings. These figures just confirm this new architecture is designed to handle current and early next-gen titles without huge compromises.
But hardware is only half the story. Let's talk software. There's a new OS, SteamOS Core 4.0, codenamed Archimedes. How does the OS leverage all this new power, especially that NPU we talked about?
Well, the NPU is being used for one fantastic consumer feature, intelligent game recording. The operating system will automatically detect key moments, a perfect headshot, a tough boss kill, and clip them in the background.
And because that's all offloaded to the NPU, it's achieving zero performance loss while capturing.
That's the premise. It removes the need for the main CPU or GPU to manage the recording buffer, freeing up every ounce of power for the game itself.
And what about compatibility? The whole Proton layer.
The documents indicate the Proton translation layer has advanced so much that they anticipate virtually 100% of modern Windows games will run without user tweaking. It basically makes the argument for installing Windows on the deck just vanish.
Okay, finally, we need to address the elephant in the room, price. With all these expensive components, 3nm LPDDR5X RAM, the custom Samsung OLED analysts seem unified that a $399 starting price is,
mathematically impossible, is the quote.
Right. Valve usually sells hardware close to cost, but they have to meet that premium component pricing somehow. What are the predictions?
The analyst commentary points to a tiered structure. The base model, 256GB SSD, is estimated to start at $499. The Pro model, 512GB plus the anti-glare screen, jumps to $599.
And the high end.
The Ultra model, 1TB plus accessories, is predicted to top out at $699. It seems like a sensible structure given the investment in the silicon and that screen.
And the timeline. When do we actually get to hold Project Grimoire?
The predicted reveal is summer 2026, probably at an event like Summer Game Fest. The release target seems to be holiday 2026.
Strategic timing.
Very strategic. It's designed to coincide with major PC releases that will fully use that RDNA 4 and FSR 4 integration.
Okay, let's wrap this up with the core takeaways for you, the learner. We've established Valve isn't just seeking an incremental update. The key pieces are the hyper-efficient Zen 5C cores, the smart 900p rationale, and that 3x power increase from the Grimoire APU.
This machine, if the leaks hold true, is what's needed to run current and upcoming gen games without forcing you into that low settings 30 FPS compromise. And the emphasis on AI integration via the NPU really marks a clear distinction from everything else on the market.
So, final evaluation.
Well, if you own a Steam Deck OLED right now, you have a fantastic device. Waiting 2 years is a big commitment. But if you're still on the original LCD model, or you're looking to buy your very first high-power handheld, waiting is absolutely advisable. The performance gulf is just too massive to ignore.
The source is called the Steam Deck 2, Valve's thunderous reply to everyone who said the handheld era is over. So given the huge power jump, the focus on efficiency, and that AI integration, are you willing to hold onto your wallet for the next 2 years, or is the current generation of handhelds enough for your gaming needs right now? That's your final thought to mull over until our next deep dive.